Please come and let us start reading in Leviticus chapter 6, starting in verse 8 up to verse 13. Leviticus 6, I have it here. Okay, you find it? You know where to find Leviticus? It's in the Old Testament, right? Amen. Praise God. Starting in verse 8 up to verse 13.
The law of the burnt offering. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers, he shall put on his body, and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out.
Father, in the name of Jesus, may you bless the word that has been read. And may you anoint your messenger tonight to deliver the message, Lord, that is based on your word. I submit myself to you now, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody say,
Amen.
You notice that I have not given you your outline because, you know, I realize that instead of listening, some people will look into the outline and they forget what has been said. So I'll give you the outline after the service. If you're interested, the outline will be given after the service. The message for tonight is taken from the reading, which is, Keep the Fire Burning. I'd like to give you a story of a local pastor who went downtown, and while he was driving, he saw some members of his church that has not been going to church for a while. And so he stopped and asked the people and said, You know what, I have not seen you in church for a while. Where have you been? And the couple was there, and the husband said, the reason why we have not been going to church is because we don't see the fire in the church. And the wife said, it's because I'm offended with some members of the church. But sometimes when we speak out our concerns, we don't realize that the problem lies within us. People have the tendency to look on other people and say, this is the reason why I don't go to church, because I no longer feel the fire or see the fire in the church. We fail to realize that the church is not the building, but it's the people in the church. Maybe they were part of the problem why there is no fire in the church. And so let us be reminded that when Moses was instructed by God to tell Aaron and his sons to keep the fire burning in the burnt offering, they were responsible for making that fire, and that will be burned all the time. And so tonight, let us go into the scripture reading that we have read. You know, today there are many believers who want to hear a fire-breathing preachers. Amen. They always follow this kind of preachers because for them, it will ignite the flame that is within them that they have received when they first received the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many of these believers like to hear the fire breathing. They like to hear T.D. Jakes. They want to follow him. They like to hear Rob Parsley. They like to hear maybe John Hagee. You know what? This type of believers can only be swayed by personality cult. They don't realize that they're following the leader is because of the Word of God that is being preached. Amen? Of course, we We cannot deny that these leaders have the charisma. And they are, I call them, fire-breathing preachers. Because when they preach, there's fire, there's excitement. They get so excited that they are on fire when they preach the Word of God. But however, let us go into the text of this message tonight. When God commanded Moses to give Aaron and his sons to keep the fire burning at the burnt offering, in order to keep the fire burning, they need, every believer needs two elements. Now in the Old Testament, if you will remember, the burnt altar was outside the tabernacle. It's outside, it's not inside. That's where they burn the animals, and then they will have to keep that fire burning to really burn that animal until the next day. And God instructed Moses to tell Aaron, who is the high priest, and his sons, to burn that offering and keep that fire burning until the next day. But you need a log in order to continue the fire, right? There are two elements that is important, and that is the log and the fire, in order that it will keep burning. In relation to our life today, you might say, Pastor, there is no more burnt offering. There's no more altar where we will offer a sacrifice for our sins. Today, God wants us to come into the burnt offering, that is submitting ourselves, our life unto the Lord, that we will keep on burning wherever we go. We'll be on fire for God. And so, the two elements in the Old Testament was the log and the fire. Today, there are two elements in a Christian life that we need in order to keep the fire burning. And that is the Holy Spirit and fire. If you will remember, when John the Baptist was preaching in the Jordan River, he was preaching about repentance. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 11, when he saw Jesus Christ coming towards him in the Jordan River, while he was baptizing, he told the people and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He was referring to Jesus Christ. Can I have water, Leslie? I'm still going through with my colds. And so anyway, when he saw Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And then he said, "He is one that will come after me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." You check that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. These are the two elements in order that we will always be on fire for the Lord. And when we have these two elements, then it means that wherever we go, then we are able to be on fire, and we are burning all the time because we are on fire with the Lord. Now let us distinguish between the two. The Holy Spirit is the comforter and the guide. So in John chapter 14 verse 6, the Holy Spirit will comfort us and He will guide us. And the fire symbolizes the presence of God. Why? Because in the Old Testament, do you remember in the tabernacle? Thank you very much. In the tabernacle, when they were in going into the innermost part. Now, I give you a background first. I think you know this, but I think it's good to refresh our memory about the tabernacle. The tabernacle was divided into three parts. The outer part, which is what we call where the burnt offering is, and then the middle part wherein the priest will go inside, and they have this, what we call the light, the candlestick with seven candles, and they are lighting it. They have the showbread, where is the symbol of the manna that God provided for the people when they were in the wilderness. And the priest will go into the middle part. This is where they offer the, what we call the smoke, which is a symbol of prayer. That's smoke is the aroma, the sweet aroma that is offered unto God. The innermost court is the place where God is supposed to be there. Where you see, in that innermost place, where you see the Ten Commandments and the rod of Peter, or Moses, and you see there what we call the presence of God. In the innermost part of the tabernacle is a place reserved only for the high priest, and that is Aaron. The sons of Aaron were not allowed to go into the middle part or in the outer, the innermost part. They are only allowed to go inside the middle part. Now, the outermost part, which is the burnt offering, people will come and offer unto God. Most of the time, they go there for the sin offering, where they offer an animal or a lamb, and then they will offer it, and the responsibility of the priest, the sons of Aaron, Levites, because it was only Aaron who was the high priest, the Levites, is that they see to it that they will have the lamb, that the fire will keep burning until the next day. And so that's the background there. Now, what is it for us today? It's not in our outline, but in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it tells us that Paul said to the church in Rome, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, acceptable, holy unto God. So we are now offering our body unto the Lord. Now what is now the significance of this burnt offering to our own spiritual life? You will notice that in this particular scripture that we have read, and if I will read again in verse 10, and the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers, he shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. What's the significance of that? The priest should gather the ashes that was consumed by the fire. I think you know this. Do you have a fireplace in your house? If you have, when you build a fire, you have to watch that fire because you want to take the ashes and separate it so that it will not hinder the fire burning. So you have to put the logs together, take the ashes and put it on the side, and it will continue to burn. What is it for us now? You know that God, when He gave us the Holy Spirit and fire, the Holy Spirit will convict us of the sin that we have, and we will come to Him, and God will now purify us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and there will be ashes, meaning the ashes is the ashes of sin that will be taken away from our heart, that will be separated, that we will continue to burn, and we will be on fire for God. There are people, when they come to church, there's so much on fire. Why? It's not only during Sundays that there's so much on fire. They're on fire from Monday to Saturday. Why? Because they put the two elements in order to keep the fire burning. And that is the log. And for us today, it's not really the log, literally, but it is Bible reading, Bible study, and prayer, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the fire symbolizes the presence of God. And that's the reason why when they come to church, there's so much on fire. That's the reason why when they come to church, they're always smiling. They have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is their strength. And that joy comes from the Holy Spirit, because it talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and joy is part of that. And that's the reason why they are so much in fire for the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's why in FCC, I always tell the people, bawal na kasi rangot dito. When you come, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always, because we are joyful when we have the Holy Spirit and we are in the presence of God. Sometimes you don't realize this. When we encounter trials and tests and troubles in life, we seem to forget that God is in us and the presence of God is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. In the same way, when Sometimes you're going out of the offline, but in the same way, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, this was a time that God spoke to Joshua and told him after the death of Moses that he should have courage, he should be able to stand against the people because God will be with him wherever he will go. If we will only realize that the presence of God is in us all the time, and that is the power, and that is the fire of God that is in our life, then we are confident and we have the courage to face trials and tests in our life. And that's the reason why when this guy told the pastor that he's no longer coming to church because he doesn't see the fire in the church, and because some of the members have offended him, it only tells us that really they were not on fire for God because they were very sensitive and they were not really emitting the fire of God in their life. That local pastor happens to be me. It happens to be me. It's my real story because I went downtown, I saw these people and I asked them, I have not seen you for a while. How come? And then I asked them, is it my fault that I have not been preaching the word of God? No, I don't. We don't see the fire in your church anymore, Pastor. There's no more anointing. And you have been in church for many years and still we're not growing. Do you know that God will place you and plant you in a church? He will nurture you with His word and He will do the increase. It doesn't mean that the pastor or the leaders of the church will do the increase for you. We cannot force you to read the Bible every day and pray. We cannot force you to come for prayer because you are responsible enough and the Holy Spirit is in you and you have to be led by the Holy Spirit to come to church and be able to fellowship with other brethren in order that you will realize the presence of God in the church. Amen? This morning when I preached about this, they were so quiet. And I told them, I'm not here to condemn you, but I'm here to remind us that we have the fire of God and we need two elements in order that the fire will keep burning. And that is the love, that is Bible study, Bible reading, and prayer, and fire, the presence of God. You can never have the fire unless you have the foundation, and that is prayer and the Word of God. You can never have that kind of fire. You can fake it. You can seem to be excited. But really, that fire comes from within, and it is manifested in the outside through our behavior, through our personality, through our relationship with other people. And so, today, we are going into this, and let us go into the definition of fire, so that we can really understand. According to the dictionary, Webster dictionary, I got this definition of fire. It is the active of burning characterized by heat and light of combustion. And so it is the burning characterized by heat. And then the second one is it's a strong feeling and excitement. Wow, that's really when someone is really so much on fire for God. So much on fire for their team. Oh, last night, I was disrupted with my study and prayer. I told myself, I will not watch the box, the fight. And I will not even pay for HBO. Because in the first place, I'm the only one in the house and no one can share with me and no one can cheer. And I'm so alone. I feel alone. So I told myself, I will not spend $55 in order just to watch the fight. So I said, early. And lo and behold, my son called me up at 1:30 and he said, you should watch that. So I woke up and then he said, you should watch it. It's a good fight. You'll miss the fight. And I said, how can I do it? It's almost done. It's almost over. So I waited until the replay. Praise God. So that was supposed to be the time that I can meditate on the word and really pray. But I was distracted. And so I waited for the replay. And I got the replay from the Philippines. And for every one round, The commercials will last for another round. So if you can imagine 12 rounds, so all in all, I was watching like 24 rounds. Because the commercial was another like one round. So you have there Capiporo, Ginebra San Miguel, San Miguel Beer, and all of these commercials in the Philippines. So I woke up very late, almost late, but I had no good sleep. Because in my mind, I was still watching the Pacquiao and Margarita fight. So you see what happens in your mind when you're focused, when you see, and it affects you, and it affected my sleep. Now, it has nothing to do with this. But what I am saying here is that when we focus our mind in the presence of God every day, then we are consumed with the fire of God, and we will always be on fire because we have the two elements that will keep us burning all the time. And that is the Word of God, prayer, and the presence of God in our life. Now, what's really the purpose of fire? Well, according to my study again, the fire commonly used to heat things up, and mainly food. And it kills germs, right? You know, you want to kill a germ, you put that on fire. And in a spiritual perspective, the Holy Spirit fire burns up the impurities to purify us and sanctify us and take away the ashes and the germs of sin in our heart. And so that's the reason why God used the word fire, because God is a consuming fire. You know, when God is there, and if you will open with me again in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, this is the first time that is written in the Bible wherein God's fire came from heaven. Amen. Verse 24. In verse 24 it says, And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Why? Because they found out that God's fire came from heaven and burned the burnt offering, and they fell down and worshiped God. We have to realize that God can never fellowship or associate with sin. That sin in our life has to be taken out by the consuming fire of the Holy Spirit and by the presence of God, and the ashes of sin should be taken away from our life. If you turn with me once again in Leviticus chapter 6. This particular scripture that we have read, particularly it talks about the law of the burnt offering. Now, in verse 10, verse 11, then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. Now the ashes, you know, is considered a dirty one. It's dirt. So it has been taken out so that it will not hinder the burning of the logs, and it has to be placed on a clean area or place. Now you will notice that the priest here symbolizes the mediation between God and man. So he has to take away that sin and put that ashes in a clean area, because God can never associate when we have sin. And that's the reason why the Bible says that God will not hear the prayer of the unrighteous. Because we can never call on the name of the Lord when we are in sin, and yet by the mercy of God there will be times that he will answer our prayer. Because there's also one way by which we can turn to Him. But generally, God can never fellowship with sin. And that's the reason why when Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, when he became sin for you and me, God turned away from him and Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The reason why God forsook him is because he became sin. And God can never fellowship with sin. God loves the sinner, but God does not love sin. Amen? And so here again, it tells us about the Old Testament. And the Old Testament has something to do with our life today. And in verse 12, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. In other words, when we have the Holy Spirit in us and the fire of God in us, that fire will keep burning in our heart. Because once it keeps burning, it means that it's taking away the ashes, the impurities of our life. We should allow the Holy Spirit and the fire of God, which is the presence of God, be in us all the time, wherever we go. And whatever we do, we should always allow the Holy Spirit to take hold of us. You know, sometimes we can only say it's easier said than done. But really, if we will just continue to have fellowship with God. Now, when we fellowship with God, we fellowship with His Word, we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and we enjoy the presence of God. When we have that, then we can now face trials and tests in our life, and truly we can face any giants in our life, because we know that God is for us, and who can be against us.
Amen.
The other day, not Friday, when we had a joint care group, and they were saying, Pastor, we should really pray for Congressman Pacquiao. And he's a congressman now. We should really pray for him because, you know, Margarito is 5'11", and he has a long reach. And how can Pacquiao really fight him when he is short and his weight is not really like the weight of Margarito? How can we really pray? I said, you know what? Do you remember the story of David and Goliath? And I told him, David was a kid. Now, you say that Pacquiao looks like a kid against Margarito. And do you know what David said? Wow, he's so big. There's no reason that I cannot hit him. Because he's so big. Just like Margarito. Probably Pacquiao said, oh, okay, you're so tall, you're big. I can hit you in the face. And look. Amen. Well, I'm just trying to relate that. But really, I was really enjoying that fight last night. And so today, as we're going to relate the Old Testament and the New Testament in our own life, it also tells us that if we will have the two elements in our life, and that is the Holy Spirit and fire, then we will be able to face giants in our life. We'll be able to face any trials and tests because we know that God is for us and who can be against us. And again, in verse 13, the fire should never, hallelujah, that word there, the fire should never, and it says here, the fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. The fire should never go out. And that's the key. The fire of the Holy Spirit in us should never run out or go out. And the only way that we can keep that fire burning is the Word of God, prayer, and experience the presence of God in our life. And then the ashes of the impurities of life. Remember I said, the fire kills the germ. And sin is a germ. Because it will kill us. Not instantly, but gradually, it will kill us, just like a germ. He cannot kill you overnight. No. He will kill you gradually, just like a cancer. They'll take you up slowly. But we, as Christians, should realize that when we harbor sin in our life, then slowly the germ will eat us and we will be drifted away from the presence of the Lord. Let me just conclude this message tonight. And the fire that is in you wants to praise God. Amen. Because if you don't have that fire, you don't really want to praise God and worship Him. Because if you have that fire, you get excited to really praise and worship the Lord. Amen. Wherever you go, in whatever place you are. Just like when the Samaritan woman had an encounter with Jesus Christ. The Samaritan woman, you Jews worship God in Jerusalem. We worship God here in the mountains. That was the response of Jesus Christ. The response was, you can worship God wherever. And you can worship Him in spirit and in truth. In other words, what Jesus Christ is saying, if you have the fire of God in you, the Spirit of God in you, then you can worship God anywhere. Amen. Not only in church, but anywhere, while driving, while at work. You can worship God, what you're doing, because you're offering it unto God. So that fire really will try to keep you on track all the time with God, because you're on fire for the Lord. When you are on fire, then you can thank Him for what He has done. Thanksgiving is almost around the corner. And, you know, most of us would always want to say, I thank God only during Thanksgiving. The people of the world will reserve a day for Thanksgiving, but they're thanking for what they have. They're not thanking God for the blessing that they have. They only thank Him for what they have. They have the car, they have the house, they have the freezer, they have the refrigerator, they have the heater, they have all of these things that they want to thank, but not really the source of everything, and that is God. We as Christians should not thank God only in one day, but we should thank God every day for what He has done and what He is going to do. In good times or in bad times, we have the fire, and we are on fire for God, so we have to continue to praise Him and thank Him for what He has done. When you are on fire with God, you will be going out and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. How can you share the good news of Jesus Christ when you're not on fire? Have you seen a person sharing the good news with a bad face? Are you sharing the good news? You should have a happy face. Because your bad face is a reflection that you're not on fire for God. Amen? If you're not on fire for God, you don't really have the enthusiasm. Now, what is enthusiasm? It comes from two words, entus. In is with, or in, tus, thus is theo, in God. So you are enthusiastic because you have the fire of God in you, and you have the presence of God in you. Now, you see people who are really on fire for God. You know, they are always joyful. There are times I'm not, because I was not on fire with God. This morning I was not on fire because I had no sleep. But that only tells us that we are influenced by our own surroundings and by our own emotions and by our own feelings. The challenge for us is in whatever situation where we are in whatever condition where we are in, we should always be on fire for the Lord. When we will be on fire for Him, it is easy for us to share the good news because we are on fire. Do you know that when you are on fire for God, you become contagious? We only use that word contagious of disease. But you see, when you use the word contagious, it means that you are influenced because of the person's enthusiasm, excitement, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So tonight, let's remember, let's be on fire. Keep that fire burning all the time. Amen?
Amen.
We have to keep that on fire when we do the praise and worship. You should be on fire. Amen. When you sing for the Lord, you should be on fire for Him. Give Him the best that you can offer to Him. When we are doing ministry work for Him, we should be on fire for God. Because when we are on fire for Him, then the dross of sin And the ashes of sin will be taken away from us, and we will be focused on what we're doing and praising God. And so tonight, let us remember that the moment you receive Jesus Christ into your life, God will baptize you with the Holy Spirit in power and fire. And when we have that, then we are empowered, just like the 120 followers of Jesus Christ in the upper room. When they received the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they were so much on fire that even the people outside thought that they were drunk. If you read Acts chapter 2, they were, as if they were drunk, because they were so much on fire for God. They were praising God in different languages. And people were saying, they must be drunk. But it was noontime. How can they be drunk when it was noontime? And besides, during the time, the wine was really adulterated with water. You know, we always think of wine having a high content of alcohol. During the time of Jesus Christ, the wine was really adulterated with water. It's more water than really the grape wine. And so, how can they be drunk? And yet, they were so much on fire. Why? Because when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came like cloven tongues of fire and sat each one of them. And they were empowered to go out in the highways and byways and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us be reminded tonight that you have the Holy Spirit, the two elements that you need to keep that fire burning. And that is the Word of God, prayer, and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And if we continue to have that in our life, then we will always be on fire. Amen?
Amen.
That's all right. Now, as we are there preparing for a song, I want you to remember the four important points of communion. The first one is submission. When God said, do this, we are submitting to the command of Jesus Christ. Do this. The second thing that we have to remember is we're doing this in remembrance of what Jesus Christ has done, the atoning death of Jesus Christ. And the third one is that when he said, do this in remembrance of me. So do this in remembrance, that we will remember what he has done. And the third thing that we have to really remember is that when Jesus Christ took the bread and the wine, it symbolizes his life that he will give for us when he took that bread. And lastly, the fourth one is we should remember that one day we will partake the communion or the banquet with him in his Father's kingdom. We are looking forward to that day when Jesus Christ will return and we will partake communion with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Elements together. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, take it, this is my body broken for you. As we're going to partake this, let us remember that the body of Jesus Christ was broken, it was wounded, and by his stripes we are healed. As we partake this, claim what Jesus Christ has said, that by his stripes we are healed. Let's partake together. In the same manner, Jesus Christ took the cup and gave it to his disciples and said, this is the blood of the new covenant. His blood, I said, is a covenant between him and the Father. As we partake this cup, it symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. As we partake this, remember that your sins are all forgiven, and your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's partake of it. Lord Jesus, we come before your presence tonight with thanksgiving in our heart. As we remember what you have done for us, that you died on that cross, you became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. We thank you, Lord, because of what you have done, we are set free from the bondage of sin. We are no longer under the power of the kingdom of darkness, but we are set free in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight we just rejoice that truly, Lord, the Bible says, as you said in your word, that, Lord, that we are free and free indeed. And Father God, we praise you for what you have done in our life and give you the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, everybody says, Amen. Amen.